This morning we invite you to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. We're going to begin reading with verse number 10. 1 John chapter 3, beginning with verse number 10. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death into life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whosoever hath this world's goods, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he has given us. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of these verses. This morning, as we continue on with that of our study here in 1 John, our focus verses are verses 19 and 20. John writes, "And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things." My subject this morning is assurance. Assurance. Now last week in our study, as we considered verses 10 through that of verse 18, our subject was that of sons of God, or children of God, or children of the devil, which? As we considered the verses that John wrote between verse 10 and verse 18, we came to understanding that those who are the children of God, that they are ones who practice righteousness. And one of those marks of righteousness is that of loving the children of God, loving one another. This morning, as we come to verses 19 through 24, it might appear at first glance that John has changed his subject on us. But in 1 John, we know that the major theme of the epistle is, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God," which is chapter 5, verse number 13. And so, as we have been going through that of 1 John here in that of our services, we've learned that there are marks that characterize those who are the children of God, those who have eternal life. And John said, "I write these things that you may know, that ye may know Some of those marks that we have seen in our study thus far is that of obedience, that of righteous living, that of loving one another. And those marks being ones which are visible. They're marks that make known that there is a difference between us and others. That there is indeed a difference between those who are the children of God and those who are the children of the devil. Now, last week we ended up with verse number 18, and this week we begin with verse number 19. And as we do, we can see that there is a connecting link. John has not changed his subject. John has not changed his subject. You note in verse 18, he says, "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." And then note verse 19, "And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things." The connecting link between that of the previous paragraph and the paragraph that is before us, which runs from verse 19 to the end of the chapter, is that of the word truth. That of the word truth. This word connects this last paragraph with that of the previous. Now, John is still dealing with that of the subject of those who are born of God, those who are the children of God, and what those marks are that distinguish them from those who are not of God. Now, in our first verse, verse number 19, in the very first statement that John makes here, he says, "And hereby we know that we are of the truth." Hereby we know that we are of the truth. The first thing that we would draw your attention to here is that John uses the pronoun we, which is plural, and in so doing, he includes himself. Those to whom he is writing to, and he includes that of himself with that little pronoun we. He says, "And hereby we know that we are of the truth." Now, as we look at this statement, there are some questions that rise up from it. And the first question is what does it mean to be of the truth? John says, "Hereby we know that we are of the truth." What does it mean to be of the truth? Secondly, how do we know that we are of the truth? John, he says here in verse 19, "Hereby we know that we are of the truth." Now, let's consider that as the first question here. What does it mean to be of the truth? And I would have us to take a look at a couple other translations as we do, for I believe that it will maybe shed a little bit of light for us. The ESV translates this statement here, "By this we shall know that we are of the truth." It sounds very similar to that of what we have in the King James, only in the very beginning of the statement, rather than "and hereby," he uses the words "by this," and "by this we shall know that we are of the truth." But the NIV 84 translates this way, "This then is how we know that we belong to the truth." Belong to the truth. Are of the truth, belong of the truth. I believe that the NIV does indeed shed a little bit of light on the question that is before us, that we've raised, or that the text raises for us, and it's that the one who belongs to the truth, we could say, is one who adheres or practices the truth. Still the same theme, that of a righteousness that is practiced. A righteousness that is practiced. Now, what has John been dealing with in that of the general context? Well, as we look back in the previous context, we find that he's been dealing with that of the marks, as we've already said, of those who are the children of God. One who is born of God versus one who is not born of God. One who is a child of God. One who is a child of the devil. One who is of the truth. One who is of the liar. What? Yeah, the one who is of the liar. Jesus, as he spoke to some Jews in John chapter 8, he said, "You are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." Wow. So John here, very quickly, in that of the nine verses, he gives us a contrast between those who are born of God, those who are not born of God, those he describes as the children of God, and those who are the children of the devil. And now he says those who are of the truth and those who are of the liar. And considering the second question that rises up from the text, and that second question is how do we know? How do we know that we are of the truth? How do we know that we belong to the truth? Well, again, we draw your attention to that of a couple of other translations. The ASV translates it as, "Hereby shall we know that we are of the truth." And I would draw your attention that in that translation, you'll note there is a difference. That difference is in that of the verb. "Hereby shall we know." Whereas as we look at the KJV here, and verse number 8:19, "Hereby we know that we are of the truth." The ESV says, "Hereby shall we know that we are the truth." And the ESV translates it, "By this we shall know that we are of the truth." So both of these translations, and if you look at some additional later translations, you'll find that the verb is translated in that of a future tense. And if you go back to the actual Greek text, you do find that the actual Greek verb there is in the future tense. But what we want to draw your attention to most of all is that of the first few words here. ASV, "Hereby shall we know." Similar to that of the KJV. KJV has, "And hereby we know." And hereby. ESV says, by this we shall know. The ESV, in translating the two words in the Greek, rather than translating it "hereby," translates it "by this." By that of a preposition and a demonstrative pronoun. And this preposition and demonstrative pronoun points to something. It points to something. And most commentators tell us that what it points to is, rather than that of what is going forward, rather it points to that of what has previously been said. And so what they would have us then say, that what John is saying here is by this, that is what John has just said about that of loving the brethren, loving one another. This sacrificial love that he speaks of in verses 16, 17, and 18. He says, by this shall we know that we are of the truth. In other words, he's focusing in, and there are other marks, but the focus that is here before us that John is focusing on is that of the mark of that of love for the brethren, that of loving one another. He says, by this, this is how that we know. This is how that we know that we are of the truth. Now let's look back and just read what John writes there. In verse 16, John writes, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. And we ought, he says, to lay down our lives for the brethren. Ooh. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. We ought to love our brethren to the point that we would give our lives for them, is what John is telling us here. We ought to love the people of God. Our brother, we were brothers and sisters, John. And he said, we ought to love our brothers and sisters to that point that we would lay down our lives for them. Kind of a high standard, isn't it? Book of Ephesians, chapter 5. And verse 25. Paul writes, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. And what did he do? He gave himself for it. Similar, isn't it? The standard is similar. Only it's a command that is given to husbands to love their wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. John says, hereby we perceive we the love of God. We discern. We come to know the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for a friend. Greater love, Jesus said. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we often lay down our lives for a brethren. But whosoever hath this world's goods, and then he gives an example of the kind of love that he's speaking of here. Whosoever hath his world's goods and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Beloved, the love that John here is speaking of is that of God's love. And what he is telling us is that we're to love as God loves. And if we see one of our brothers in need and we don't have, well, we have the means to take care of them, and we don't, then how? Know that. Know what he says. How dwelleth the love of God in him? A little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. We're going to come back to this as we get on further into the message. But what does John mean of the truth? He means those who practice the truth. Those who are born of God, the children of God. Peter, in 1 Peter, he wrote in verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. But we know that those who are born of God, the instrumentality of the Holy Spirit is involved. And beloved, we also know that the Word of God is used in that mighty work of God. It being the incorruptible seed. Of his own will begot he us by how? The Word of truth, James tells. So how do we know that we are of the truth? Well, John focuses in the previous passage on that of love. Loving our brothers. Loving one another. Which is practicing that of righteousness that John was speaking of. Doing that which is right. What God has commanded. How do we know that we're of the truth? Hereby, by this. By what? By practicing righteousness, we shall come to know that we are of the truth. The verb there is in the future. So what John here is telling us is that we will know that we are of the truth as, beloved, our lives, we live our lives, and our lives, the main thrust is that of practicing righteousness. Which is the same thing that John was setting before us back prior to verse number 10 of chapter 3. Hereby we do know, or by this we know. That word know, the knowledge that John is spoken of there in that word speaks of is that of a knowledge which is an acquired knowledge. It is a knowledge that is one that has been experienced. And so John is telling us that we shall know that we are of the truth, and it's by that of the practicing of righteousness. That's being the main thrust of our lives. You mean it's something that we do? No. Let's back over in verse 9. Of the third chapter, John says, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. Beloved, the practicing of righteousness is a result of that, of the fact that we've been born of God. We've been born from above. It's the evidence of it. I want to stop for a moment, and I want to draw your attention to that of what Peter wrote in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. He wrote, "Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." And if you note, if you remember that of the previous verses there, Peter said, add to your faith virtue to virtue, brotherly love, long suffering. He gives us a whole slew of virtues. Be diligent to make your calling and election sure. Brethren, talk is cheap, isn't it? The proof is in the pudding. What does that mean? It means you gotta take some of the, you gotta eat some of the pudding to see if it's good or bad. That's what it means. The proof is in the pudding. Well, beloved, it's the same way. It's the same way with those who profess faith in Jesus Christ, who claim to be the children of God. The proof, beloved, is in that of the evidence that comes forth from that of their life. That's what John is telling us. And so that's all the more reason why that we ought to be diligent to make our calling and election sure. But going back, coming back to our text, John writes there in verse number 19, "And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him." And shall assure, or we shall assure our hearts. We shall assure our hearts before Him. John, he uses a third person plural, or a first person plural here, when he uses the word assure. And that verb is future. We shall be assured. We shall be assured. We shall assure our hearts before Him. Now there's three questions that I believe comes up from that of our statement there that John makes. First one is, what does the word assure mean? Second, what is our hearts to be assured of? And then third, what does it mean before Him? First, what does the word assure mean? It can mean, and I'm going to give you a couple definitions: to cause to come to a particular point of view or course of action. And under this definition, to convince, persuade, appeal to, win over, strive to please, conciliate, pacify, set at ease or rest. Second definition is to be so convinced that one puts confidence in something. And there are several other definitions. The word has several different range. It has a range of meanings. It has several definitions. And this is not something that is different from that of our English language. You look up a word in a dictionary, you're going to find that many times there's a range of meaning of that word. It is the way that it's used. The question is what does it mean here in our text? And we'll get to that answer in just a minute once we consider that of the next question. What is our heart to be assured of? And John tells us, basically. He says, "And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him." What is it that we are going to assure our hearts of? is what he has just spoken of in the immediate or in the previous statement. Hereby we know that we are of the truth, and note the connective, and shall assure our hearts. In other words, that we are of the truth. That we are of the truth. So coming back to that of the meaning of the word assure, we said that the word assure has one meaning to mean that of to cause to come to a particular point of view or course of action. Come to a particular point of view. And what is that view? To convince, to persuade, or to set at ease. It's that we are of the truth. To assure our hearts. And we shall assure our hearts, he says. And shall assure our hearts before him. The heart is what stands out here. And it's that of the heart that is needing to be convinced, persuaded. Now, what is the heart? The word heart is used in Scripture to speak of that of the inner man. That of the mind, that of the emotions, that of the will. We shall assure our hearts, convince our hearts, persuade that of our hearts. Before him. How do we know that we're of the truth? By living a righteous life which expresses that of love for the brethren. And by this we shall know that we are of the truth and assure our hearts. Now let's think about the heart for a moment. Why does it need to be assured? Why does it need to be convinced? Why does it need to be persuaded? Why does it need to be set at ease? Well, think about your own heart. Are there not times that you have some heart problems? I'm not talking about that of the mechanical heart. I'm talking about that of that innermost part of you. Assurance, we think, confidence. But the opposite would be that of not having confidence, wouldn't it? Having that of doubt. The heart. Verse 20, you notice that for if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. The heart does condemn us or convict us. Our heart becomes convicted. We become convicted. Sometimes it's right. We have done those things that we ought not to have done, right? Sometimes it's not. We shall assure our hearts. Set at ease, at rest, our hearts concerning what? That we are of the truth. What does it mean to be the phrase before him? Well, the pronoun him is God. And The phrase before him has to do with being in his presence. Beloved, we're in the presence of God right here this morning. How's your heart? But I would also say to you that wherever you go, beloved, God sees you and knows you. He knows me and He sees me. He knows what's in our hearts. He knows, beloved, if we have that of problems, heart problems. David spoke of the very fact that God sees us and knows all about us, doesn't He? Didn't He? Psalm 139. John goes on to say in verse 20, "For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things." First statement there, he says, if our heart condemn us, or the word condemn there means to convict, convicts us. God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. As I have already said, the heart does convict us, and a good part of the time it's because rightfully so. But not always. Not always. But as we think of that love that John spoke of, that we are to exercise, that's convicting, isn't it? Because we know that we don't love like we should. Most likely, he had that in light, in mind, as he wrote these words. We're not perfect. But John says God is greater than our heart. God is greater in our heart and knoweth all things. He knows things about us that we don't know. Peter had sinned against the Lord. He had denied the Lord 3 times. At the end of John, we have that of the account, Jesus on the seashore and the disciples. Jesus and Peter had a conversation, didn't they? Jesus said, "Peter, do you love me?" He said, "You know I love you, Lord." He asked him the second time, "Peter, do you love me?" He said, "You know." He said, "You know I love you." Third time he says, "Peter, do you love me?" Scriptures, I believe, says that Peter was grieved. And he said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love thee." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." When our hearts condemn us, we need to go to the Lord. We need to deal with whatever is there, don't we? And if it's things that we've sinned against the Lord, we need to ask, confess them, ask forgiveness, don't we? Yes, we do. But it may be something that the heart has brought up, and it's not necessarily true. We still need to take it to the Lord. God is greater than our hearts. The heart is deceitful, believe. He knows all things. confessing our sins. John said in chapter 1, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How do we know that we're of the truth? We practice righteousness, and one of those marks is that of loving our brethren. Loving that of our brethren. Assurance. There's times when we have doubts. We see what we are, who we really are. We do things that we know that we shouldn't have. In those times we need to go to the Lord, and in those times we need to remember what Jesus did for us. What Jesus did for us. What God has done for us through Jesus. A songwriter wrote, I am not skilled to understand what God has willed, what God has planned. I only know that at His right hand is one who is my Savior. I take Him at His word indeed. Christ died for sinners, this I read. For in my heart I find a need of Him to be. And we sang the last hymn, Christ receive a sinful man. Even me with all my sin. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? We need to hear the gospel. We need to hear it every day. Jesus died for sinners. He died for me. And don't forget it. Because what we are sinners. Sinners saved by grace. If we're saved. Let us stand and let's turn to hymn number 653. Hymn number 653. And we'll sing just one stanza. Hymn number 650.
Lord Jesus, I long to be perfectly whole. I want you forever to live in my soul. Break down every idol, cast out every foe. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Whiter than snow, yes, whiter than snow. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow.
You know, that songwriter had it right. Now, wash me. You, Lord, wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Nothing that we can do. It's all what He has done and what He does. Amen. If you'll be seated at this time, we'll go and have the Lord's. First Corinthians chapter 15, we have Paul's account. Supper. First Corinthians chapter 11, I'm sorry. And we'll begin reading verse 23. Paul writes, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." I'm going to ask Brother Dan if he will give thanks.
Heavenly Father, we bow to thank thee and to praise thee, Lord, that thou has redeemed us, Lord, that thou has gone to Calvary willingly, Lord, that thou has laid down thy life, thy life for us. We praise you. We thank you, Lord, for being our wonderful Savior. Thank you, Lord, for goodness to each and every one of us, Lord, that you have blessed us beyond measure. Lord, we praise you. Thank you for being our wonderful Savior. Thank you for laying yourself down for us upon Calvary. And we ask now that you might bless my bread to our bodies. We pray in Jesus' name.
As we come to the table this morning, we're reminded that the Lord told us to remember. Each time that we come to the table, we're called to remembrance. We're called to remembrance of that of what Jesus did for us. Reminded of that of God's love, God's amazing love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We're reminded of what Jesus did and that of the giving of himself. The bread, picturing his body, broken for us. He said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do in remembrance, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me."
Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we do praise you, Lord, for the gift of thine only begotten Son. Father, we remember that his blood was shed in our behalf, that he was exposed to almighty wrath for our sins, that he was made sin for us, that he took our grief upon himself, and that in doing that, his life's blood was spilled, poured out upon the ground for each of us.
Lord, we thank you for this. Lord, we know that often the supper has been referred to as the Eucharist or Thanksgiving. Lord, because of all that Christ has done, Lord, we do offer thanks to thee. And Father, we remember that great sacrifice. Lord, truly, we needed it. We need it today, and Lord, we praise you for it. And Lord, we do pray that we may, as you've commanded, show forth his death until he appears in power and great glory. Father, for all this, we give thee thanks, and we pray your blessing upon it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. They went out and they sang the hymn. Let's stand.
Blessed be the tide that binds our hearts in Christian love, the fellowship of kindred minds is light.
You're dismissed. May the Lord bless you as we end our services for the day.